now it's time for us to talk about the next game that we play on this here show.
Let's do it.
We're playing something that's very, I feel like, very timely.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, what's the next game? What's the next game we'll play?
This is our first ever Nintendo game.
Wish it, yeah, it is, ain't it?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
So, as soon as they announced that this thing was coming to modern consoles, we're like, it's time. We had like a break glass in case of emergency. We have like three games for that. For one of them is for Metal Gear Solid 4. That's not coming anytime soon. I've given up hope on that. But the other one.
No, what are you talking about? Metal Gear Rising's gonna get a sequel, don't you know?
Did
you see that whole? Did you see that whole thing?
I was a part of that.
That subreddit was completely convinced.
Or a remaster or something. I was with them. I was like, remaster. I'd love a remaster.
I don't see that happening.
Blasting. It has to be this way in my headphones. That game rules. That game has gotten better with it. But anyway, moving on. we're playing a game that's coming to the Nintendo Switch online service on the day that this episode drops. When you're listening to this, this will be available for you to play. Metroid Fusion.
My favorite Metroid game.
It's my third favorite Metroid game.
Metroid Fusion is... It's just like, yeah, it's probably my favorite game on the Game Boy Advance.
It's a great game. I realized recently thinking about that. The Game Boy Advance might be one of the best systems ever made.
It's got a great library.
So good.
Great stuff on that game. That's the thing, man. Dude, like, Game Boy Advance had a killer library. I would make the argument that, like, Game Boy in general had a great library. Game Boy Color and stuff, man, had great stuff. They had great games.
Turns out Nintendo, unmatched in the handheld department. The best thing they did for their home consoles was make it a handheld.
Yeah, look at that. It seems like that's their skill level. I mean, dude, like, hey, I mean, I had a PSP. It wasn't any damn good as all those Nintendo handhelds.
You can watch movies on a PSP. You can watch movies on this Game Boy Advance. Here's a cartridge of Shrek.
What are you talking about? Don't you own a UMD copy of Man of the House starring Tommy Lee Jones? I have a copy of Man of the House starring Tommy Lee Jones with the UMD.
All right, technically that's a video game. I'm deleting Metroid Fusion notes now, and I'm replacing it with Man of the House.
We're going to watch Man of the House on UMD, but you have to watch it on UMD.
Yeah,
so you have
exactly.
to hold your PSP for an hour and 45 minutes or however long that damn
Can you emulate UMD movies? I bet you can. That sounds
why
awful.
Why would you do this?
Oh, man.
I also have Air Force One if you want to watch that on UMD. I have a weird selection of movies. Watch Air Force One on a plane.
Yeah, do that.
I have a ton of UMD movies because back when the PSP was crashing hard, they had them like for like a dollar. And, like, I just, like, they were just, like, in boxes. It's just, like, here's all these movies. And for some reason, my father was like, I bought you all these movies for your PSP. I was like, okay. That's how I ended up with Air Force One. I got Black Hawk Down for UMD. You want to watch Black Hawk Down on the UMD?
Fun fact, Black Hawk Down is my wife's favorite movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I like Black Hawk Down. It's a high quality movie.
Ridley Scott, good director, turns out.
Leonard Bloom breaks his neck in the first 15 minutes of that movie.
Metroid Fusion.
Yeah, let's go back talking about the game we're playing.
Yeah, Metroid Fusion is an action exploration platform game by Nintendo Research and Development One.
The best name for a development company.
Right next to Creative Business Unit 3 from Square Enix.
What do we do? We do business here. We do creative business.
So the prep work for this episode is a little bit scattershot because I had to streamline this because Nintendo has a over 100-year history. So I had to rein this in and really focus on strictly Nintendo Research and Development 1. So to be brief about the studio's history, in the mid-1960s, Hanafuda Cards, which were Nintendo's primary focus since their formation in 1889, Hanafuda is a type of playing card that uses abstract pictures for its designs. They were designed as a way to get around Tokugawa era law banning playing cards. That's a very simplistic history. There's more to it. Basically, they have like little paintings on them. So they're like, oh, these are little pieces of artwork. But of course, people turned them into several card games to get around the gambling ban. Really cool history there. Gunpei Yokoi, an electronics engineer who was hired by Nintendo, developed a grab claw toy in his spare time called the Ultra Hand. The company president loved it and put it to market where it was a hit. So Yokoi developed other toys for Nintendo, including the Love Tester, a device that had two metal spheres connected to a meter, like a Geiger counter. Two people would hold hands, and the meter would determine their compatibility on a scale from 1 to 100.
Wait, it was metal spheres on a string?
Yes.
Michael, that wasn't for compatibility. That seems like another one of those. This is totally another innocent thing.
I mean, Nintendo, if you want to get into it, Nintendo did own a chain of pay-by-the-hour hotels, so...
Mario goes, come on, boys, it's time to go down the pipes. Yeah, mom.
In 1972, Yokoi was appointed general manager of Nintendo R&D after the creation of their first electronics development team. In 1978, development at Nintendo had become so multifaceted that they had to split the R&D teams. R&D 1, which would develop Nintendo's arcade games like Donkey Kong, Mario Bros., and Popeye, and handheld systems including the Game & Watch line, and later the Game Boy and the Virtual Boy. R&D 2, mainly, we're not talking about them here, but they mainly focus on like developing the home console. So R&D 1, so aka number one for Nintendo, was all about that handheld market. In 1986, R&D 1 and Intelligent Systems released Metroid for the Family Computer Disk System in Japan, and 1987 for the NES in America. Unlike most action games at the time, Metroid had a major emphasis on exploration, backtracking, and collecting power-ups to advance through otherwise inaccessible areas.
You ever played the first Metroid?
I played a bit of it. I played the remake instead. The remake is my favorite Metroid.
I was about to say, I think I would stick with it. I tried to play it not long ago. It's not a bad game. It's just so dated that it's hard to go back to.
It didn't age well. But at the time, it was a huge hit. A phrase we don't say enough regarding Metroid, sadly. Metroid was also notable for giving gaming one of its first female protagonists in Samus Aran. A sequel, Metroid 2 Return of Samus, was released on the Game Boy in 1991. Reception was quite high at the time, with reviewers lauding the game's graphics and gameplay. However, retrospective reviews would be less kind to the game, sadly.
I went back and played that not long ago, too. That one is a little bit easier to go back to.
It's better. The problem is, if it had a map, the game would be astronomically better.
Yeah.
And there is multiple remakes of that, including AM2R and Samus Returns on the 3DS.
Which I imagine have maps.
Yeah, they absolutely have maps.
Yeah, probably makes that a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah. This was not the case for the next game in the series, being harsher in retrospective. Metroid 3, aka Super Metroid, was released in 1994, and that game was met with critical acclaim as well as stood the test of time. Yoshio Sakamoto was the developer for both Metroid titles before Super Metroid. He was made the developer of the project, innovating the series in smart ways. And have you played Super Metroid?
I have. I don't think I ever like got super deep into it.
Okay, I finished Super Metroid.
I played a bunch of Metroids around the time Dread got announced.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fiddled with a bunch of stuff. I never like sat down and knocked any of them out.
Gotcha. So while Super Metroid did well commercially, sales were on a downward slope. And to this day, Super Metroid sold the least compared to the other games in the mainline Metroid series. That's not including remakes or spinoff like the Prime series. Just calling the original releases of Metroids 1 through 5, Dread being 5. Super Metroid is the least selling. And
It's a little muddied, though, like I said, because Prime is its own thing. Mm-hmm. Then all the Game Boy ones are their own things. Like, I never played those first three, but I played the Game Boy ones. And so it's like, it's kind of like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's maybe. But, man, there's a lot of games that aren't quote-unquote mainline Metroid games.
And it's also worth noting that Metroid games would have a pattern of doing really well in America, but less so in Japan. No matter what the series, until it seems like this most recent Metroid Renaissance is whenever it's starting to finally gain traction in Japan, and that seems like long overdue at this point. And because of that, the series remained dormant from 1994 until March 2001, when a new Metroid game was announced at Nintendo's Camp Game Boy Advance press event.
Rumors have been 10 times fast.
Nintendo's Camp Game Boy Advance press event. That hurt one time.
Please don't.
rumors had been circulating beforehand that the game would be a port of Super Metroid, but Ken Lobb of Nintendo America set the record straight. Metroid is not Super Metroid, it's something new, and that they would have more to show at E3. However, all that was shown at E3 was a short, early build of the game that showed a dark-suited Samus walking on walls, as well as the game's working title, Metroid 4. Multiple outlets expressed their disappointment with the reveal. Because I believe it was shown in one of the highlight reel things, and it was only an 8-second clip of Metroid 4. And if you hear, oh, we're going to show more at E3, and you only get 8 seconds of a working title and alpha footage, that's not really what you want to see.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I feel like that works now. I mean, how many people are freaked the hell out anytime, like, Elden Scrolls shows, like, it's the logo now? And people are like, ah! Like, I feel like, yeah.
The early logo for Fusion was the most 2000s thing possible. It looked like spray-painted Metroid with 4 behind it. It looked more like Street Fighter art than it did Metroid. It was interesting. So, 1 year later at E3 2002, the game has a final title, Metroid Fusion, and was paired with a gameplay teaser that showed a much more realized game. The building blocks of Fusion's development were not taken from Super Metroid, but instead Wario Land 4, since this was R&D1's first title on Nintendo's new Game Boy Advance. This means that the game was developed for portable play in mind, offering a more linear mission-based structure compared to the vast, open Super Metroid. The team created animated cutscenes for the game as a means of telling its more direct story, something we didn't really see at Metroid, where the story was more set dressing and told through more gameplay sequences.
Yeah, because there was a straight-up villain in this.
Yeah.
Like, there was a reoccurring, it's not just like a boss, it was a reoccurring villain that, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I just had a weird flashback.
There's a story in the back to this of game.
Yeah, I had a weird flashback of sitting in the back of a minivan playing this game.
Oh, man, that's the best place to play this. Metroid Fusion released on November 17th, 2002, the same day as Metroid Prime. That is the best day in history for Metroid fans. You get two awesome games on the same day. Both games released to very high praise and are seen as some of the best games on their respective platforms, the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance. The Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences awarded Metroid Fusion the award for Handheld Game of the Year. Metroid Fusion can be played on the Game Boy Advance, the Wii U Virtual Console, the 3DS Virtual Console, only through the Ambassador Program. Meaning, if you have a 3DS, a launch 3DS, Nintendo basically made an apology after a price cut saying, "We're sorry that you paid more price for this. You're now a 3DS ambassador. You get stuff that will never be released anywhere else." Those people got a list of games, including I believe Link to the Past was one, and I could be wrong there, but Metroid Fusion was one of the games, and it was never made available digitally for the 3DS aside from the ambassador program. Yeah, Nintendo's treated Metroid pretty weird over the years.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here going, like, it just feels like that's like, don't, no, just give them Metroid Fusion. This high-quality, amazing video game. Yes.
Are you implying Nintendo made.
I'm saying that Nintendo has some hate. I'm saying Nintendo got some hate for our Gar there, and I don't appreciate it because I love these Metroid games on Game Boy.
And as we said earlier, it's also available on the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pass as of today.
And it's also available with a guy from Etsy who would make you a cart for like $20.
Yeah, that's another part of this conversation. Separate from this conversation, did you know that Game Boy Advance games are incredibly easy to emulate and can play on almost anything with a screen? I'm not saying that about this game. I'm just saying that in general. Because emulators themselves are legal.
You know about that calculator you got sitting on your desk at work? That could probably play Metroid Fusion.
It probably can.
All you need four buttons. You need four buttons and something that's like a D-pad. Call it a day.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying that as something separate. I'm not saying that in relation to Metroid Fusion.
No, we're just saying, we're saying two different statements. We're saying that Metroid Fusion exists. And then we're saying that in relation of games for the Game Boy is pretty damn easy. That's all. It's always it.
Yeah, if you connect those things, it's your problem.
That seems like you. Why are you the weirdo connecting these things? It feels like you are the one with the problem. We're just asking questions. Seems to work for everybody else nowadays, so we'll just pull that off ourselves.
This game is 5 hours long, so it's a one-shot. We haven't had one of those in a while. And spoiler alert, as soon as this thing becomes available on Nintendo Switch Online, I am going to play the crap out of this thing.
I feel like it's going to be a breezy 5 hours.
I'm very excited for this.
I'm excited for it also. It's been a very long time since I've played this, but I have nothing but fond memories. I have a fun story about how I acquired my copy of Metroid Fusion, but I'm not entirely sure if I should tell it on the show or not, so I'll make that decision by next time.
Ooh, by next time. That's a cliffhanger.
If you want to hear my story that has all sorts of drama and intrigue and shady deals and Mountain Dew cap contest for the ACC tournament.
What? And,
it's got everything, boys. It got everything. If you want to hear that story, you can.
This is more politically complex than a Splinter Cell game.
It's got more to it, to be honest with you. There's more twists and turns. But at the same time, I'm not entirely sure if I should tell her or not. So we'll make that decision by next show.
Might need to make a phone call and be like, hey, can I tell this story?
Yeah, I have to get approval from a couple of people before I can tell the story. But, yeah. Metroid Fusion is going to be fun. That would be our next game. I think it'll be a bang-up time. It'll also be our first Game Boy game we've ever done for this show, which is... every once in a while, we'll walk a weird one in.
Yeah. I have a feeling once we play this, we'll be like, man, we should play more Game Boy games.
There's a lot of great Game Boy Advance games. That's one of the biggest I don't even know what happened to them all, but I lost a bunch of my Game Boy Advance games because I had them outside a box, obviously, in one of those like little container, like little packs that you know held your system and your charger and all your games. And somewhere down the line, that thing got knocked over or something, and I lost a bunch of them in a move. And it's kind of heartbreaking, to be honest with you, because I had a ton of great stuff, man. Plus a lot of crap too, because I used to raid those dollar bins at the Funko Land, and I had a bunch of shit that I bought too.
I had some bad Game Boy Advance games.
Did you have Tony Hawk for the Game Boy Color?
I did not have Tony Hawk for the Game Boy Color. I had Shrek Castle in the Castle.
Okay, that's a game.
It is a game. It's bad. And because I was a kid growing up in peak GameCube era Game Boy Advance, I had like every Sonic Game Boy Advance game.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Sonic Advance 1 and 2 are high quality video games. They're probably the best 2D Sonics, I'll say that.
Did you have any of the Game Boy, like the Nintendo, the original NES games released on the Game Boy for like full price?
I did not, no.
Yeah, they did that for a while.
I saw those at the store, but I was like, why do I want to play? Why would I want to play this?
You get them in the Funko Land bargain bin which was just like a big empty box that was filled up with junk. It's like, hey man, it's like $2 if you can find it. Because they also had like PlayStation 2 games and stuff in there. So it, all the Game Boy games got pushed to the bottom and it'd just be PlayStation 2s on top. So you had to do some digging to get that stuff. But like I said, it was like $5 for like a bunch of games. I had a great time.
You're panning for gold there.
Yeah, when Funko Land got bought out by EB Games, I was very upset.
And then when EB Games got bought out by GameStop, I was also...
Yeah, it just got worse. Funko Land, though, man. Funko Land was the bomb. I love Funko Land. I you want to get me a t-shirt someday that's just a Funko Land employee shirt, I'll have a ball.
I'm sure those exist on eBay somewhere.
I'm sure they do. But it probably got like sweat stains and all that stuff in it. People would freaking own them. StateOfTheSave@gmail.com is the email address. At StateOfTheSave on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. You can see saved catalog of Michael's streams on the YouTube channel if you like to check those out. You can also make sure to follow us on all the social media platforms. Probably the best place would be the TikTok. And as always, thank you guys and stay safe out there. We'll be right back.